Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Okay, obviously, when it comes to Twitter and message boards and things like that, I don't, with all due respect, pay any attention. But I was reading a story, and a tweet was inserted in the story about cutting away or double boxing when Aaron Judge is at the plate in a college football game. So that's why I'm reading the story. And they had this tweet inserted in there. It's from whatever Action Cookbook is. Right? Finally, Aaron Judge has done it. He's pulled to within 12 of the single season home run record.
No, senor!
Even you have to think that's funny.
Yes, I do, actually. That's well played.
Finally, Aaron Judge has done it. He's pulled it within 12 of the single season. He still a dozen away.
And that could include Penn State Northwestern, by the way. If it doesn't happen tonight.
That's fine. Just so everybody knows, Jack and I will be doing the game. All right, so.
Exactly.
All right. Today's show brought to you by our good friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere. And don't forget, you need to stock up for that tailgate. Wine coolers, water, soft drink, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. Pickle bar, lay by the barrels and the dills. Indeed, second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And we are in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Humbles Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Time now for our play-by-play call of the day.
Burrell is 8 of 15, barely over 50%. Goes deep down the left sideline, and that's caught. That's T. Higgins to the end zone. So the crowd was growing impatient. The next thing you know, you got a 59-yard touchdown over Xavier Howard's head.
Al Michaels with a call on Amazon last night, and the Bengals won it. First loss for the Dolphins. And Matt wants everybody in the Dolphins organization fired, including Mike Gesicki, who's going to join us on the show Tuesday.
No, I can't fire Mike Gesicki. I'm sorry.
Because he's on the show Tuesday?
No, because I like Mike Gesicki.
Yeah, but he's a Dolphin. They're all culpable.
The players are fine. Everybody else.
Oh, okay. And Teddy Bridgewater, go on out there. You look good. I don't think so. I don't think that happened. All right. Now let's talk some college football. He is one of the best. We said we'd bring him on at this about this point. And that's Phil Steele. Phil, welcome back. Great to hear you, my friend.
You know, I am doing great, Steve. How about yourself today?
I'm doing great. Heading into another football weekend, and that means, Phil, you're going to be watching a lot of games, and I'm going to be watching one.
Yeah, a little difference in our lifestyles there. At least you get to go to the games, so I have to sit in my office and watch them all.
Absolutely. But once it's over, I get back and watch plenty. I've got to ask you about one of the great stories of the young season. That is Kansas. Lance Leipold did a great job at Wisconsin Whitewater. I thought he was doing a really good job at Buffalo. Gets the Kansas job. People wondered, okay, what are you doing and why? Why is that team performing the way they are early in the season?
I think it's because of Lance Leipold, but also because of the insertion of Jalen Daniels at quarterback. If you take a look at last year, remember Leipold actually got hired, wasn't even there for the spring. So he came in after spring was over, and it took a long while for Kansas players to get acclimated to his systems. In fact, they opened up last year 1-8 and weren't looking very good. He went and took the red shirt off of Jalen Daniels at quarterback, and Daniels started the last three games. They upset Texas, nearly upset TCU, nearly upset West Virginia, and they've carried that momentum into this year. Naturally, they beat Tennessee Tech, but beating West Virginia and Houston on the road and then Duke at home have all been impressive. So Daniels 7-0 against the spread as a starting quarterback, and 5-2 straight up. And Lance Leipold's systems, I mean, you touched on it. When he was at Buffalo, they like to run the football, be physical, and play good defense, and all that stuff is starting to come to true to form at Kansas.
Yeah, I had Jared Patterson there and a couple of other guys that could run the football, and he took advantage of it when he was at Buffalo. All right, so another one that's interesting and interested to a lot of fans around here, it's been the play of Kentucky. Will Levis, who was here at Penn State, starting quarterback, second year in a row at Kentucky. Two parts to this. One, what have you thought of Levis to this point? And then number two, why has Kentucky been as overall successful as they've been so far?
Well, I think one thing is Kentucky usually has a pretty soft non-conference slate, which they had again this year, Miami of Ohio, Youngstown State, Northern Illinois. But the win at Florida looked good. Now, remember, they were down by 9, and then Richardson for Florida threw 2 key interceptions. They came back and won it. It depends how they do this week at Ole Miss. If they win against Ole Miss this week, I'll be a Kentucky believer this year. If not, I still think they'll lose a couple of games, like at Tennessee and home against Georgia, but finish with another solid season. As far as Levis goes, you know, he has elevated himself to a potential first-round draft pick. He has all the measurables you want in a quarterback, and he's also mobile. He's got the mobility. He's got the arm. He's hitting 67% with a 10-4 ratio. I'd like to see him against the Georgia defense. Last year, Levis actually had 8 games where he didn't even top 200 yards passing. This year, he's already got 3 300-yard games, so we've seen a different quarterback this year.
No question. And you know, and when you get a chance, when you watch him on TV, I mean, look at the release he has. I mean, because obviously, like, I mean, Phil, I mean, for 3 years I watched him in practice. I mean, you know, he's got a great release. The thing I'm always looking with him is I still don't feel like he has enough touch on the ball on certain throws that he needs. But that's just me with my amateur evaluation of it. USC, I watched the Oregon State game last week. Obviously, I didn't see the prime USC performance, but there's a lot of transfers in that program. What's the gauge that you have about the adjustments that Lincoln Riley's made to personnel and personnel have made to now playing at USC?
Yeah, I think the players he brought in are tremendous. I mean, Travis Dye, 1,000-yard running back. Austin Jones, someone who Coach Shaw was very high on at running back. And then, of course, the receivers. You bring in the Biletnikoff winner in Jordan Addison, Mario Williams, who's my number two wide receiver out of high school at Oklahoma. They are loaded offensively. Now, they've been living off the turnovers so far, Steve. They've got plus 14 in turnovers on the year. That's probably not going to last them all season. And they do have a tough game at Utah coming up. But I like the way that he has melded these transfers into the program. And last week, I think the 4 punts they had against Oregon State probably totaled the 4 as many punts as they had in the first 3 games of the year. So I thought Oregon State did a great job slowing them down. We should see a much better USC offense in these next 2 weeks.
I've got to ask you about Ohio State, because Ohio State has not, except for Notre Dame. The first game with Notre Dame, they had to rally in the second half to win. But since then, obviously, they've been rolling people. What has been your thought, especially looking at the offense with Stroud at quarterback?
Yeah, I thought, you know, I wasn't that impressed with their Arkansas State game as well. Arkansas State actually had 4 long drives. They settled for short field goals. Only had 12 points, but that wasn't blown away with that. They only had a 20-15 first down edge. I was blown away with 77 points against Toledo. You know, Toledo in their other 3 games has given up like 200 yards per game, and they go and put up 763 on them. And then Wisconsin last week, I mean, that game was over at the end of the first quarter. And at the half, half, it was 31-7, and that's a pretty good Wisconsin team as well. So I think the offense is thriving, as you would expect. I thought they'd be the top offense in the country, and I think they will be this year. And defensively, you know, Jim Knowles comes in. He has a somewhat complex defense. It took Oklahoma State about 3 years to catch on to it and get it to its peak. But with the players he's got working here, I think you're going to see this defense play pretty well and get better each and every week.
Michigan, the non-conference schedule, let's see, would soft be too strong a word? Let's see. But then last week they played Maryland. And what's interesting to me is not that Talia Tungavaiola played decently, but that he had to go out of the game and Billy Edwards threw a touchdown pass in that game. They've got Iowa this week on the road. Now, you and I both know Iowa can't score, but what's your gauge on Michigan after seeing a game like that?
Yeah, and, you know, after the three opponents they played, let's face it, they're among the weakest in college football in the first three games. And last week, had the Maryland kick returner not had the ball go off his face mask, and they hand Michigan a 10-yard touchdown to 10 seconds into the game, who knows? They only won by the game by seven. Take that away, and you've got an even ball game. And Maryland actually came back to lead at one point in that game, which I thought was very solid on the Terps' part. So I wasn't all that impressed with Michigan, and I do think Michigan's going to have a very tough test this week. You know, Iowa, and I'm sure you know this, Steve, but the last six times they've taken on top five teams, they're 5-1 straight up, and they've covered them all. I think Iowa's going to give them quite a test this weekend.
Yeah, and they're finally going to have to play on the road, too. I mean, it's going to be a wild atmosphere at Kinnick, and I believe that's at Kinnick this week. And if it is, that means that the fans are standing 3 feet behind the bench. So always enjoyable, enjoyable. When you look, I've got to ask you about Penn State. So what's been your gauge? The four games so far, win at Purdue, home Ohio, win at Auburn, home last week with Central Michigan. Your thoughts to this point?
Well, the one thing you wanted to see with Penn State this year was the development of a run game. We didn't see it in the Purdue game, but since then, with the freshmen, Singleton and Allen, all of a sudden the run game has flourished. And that Auburn's actually got a pretty good defense. I think you're going to see Auburn's got a chance against LSU this weekend. And if they do upset LSU, that Auburn game is going to look even better for Penn State. We knew the defense would be solid. It is. They're holding opponents to 72 yards per game below their average. We knew Sean Clifford could throw the football. I like the way he's got an 8-1 ratio this year. But to me, the clear difference between Penn State this year and last year is the run game. And frankly, I think that makes him a Big Ten contender. Yeah, they've played Ohio State tough a lot in recent years. And give a run game to it, put it in whiteout conditions at Penn State, and I think there's a chance there. I've been very, very pleased with what I've seen from Penn State.
Yeah, Phil, what's interesting is Auburn's front seven is really good. Obviously, after seeing them in person, they can all run. And Penn State did a good job of controlling that front seven. That impressed me in watching that game a couple of weeks ago. All right, so Minnesota, undefeated, same story as Michigan. I mean, their non-conference schedule is, you got to be kidding me. But then they go to East Lansing, and Michigan State, it wasn't just how they dominated. Michigan State only had 8 possessions in the game, Phil. He seems to have a way that he wants to win, and they seem to understand that. Is that fair?
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, you got to love the fact that last year, remember, they went through, 6 running backs, and each running back he put in there was successful. Mo Ibrahim's a guy, though, that seems to get better after contact. You know, once he gets contact, he can start, moves the pile 5-6 yards down the field. They're running for almost 300 yards per game. Very impressive with what they did to Michigan State, because as bad as Michigan State's pass defense has been the last 2 years, they've had a pretty good run defense, and they ran over them for 240 yards. Tanner Morgan is really enjoying Kirk Soraka's system. It didn't work at Penn State, but it does fit well at Minnesota. And Morgan really thrives in his offensive system. And defensively, they've got one of the better defensive coordinators out there, and they're allowing under 200 yards per game. So really, they are a complete team. And I think we're going to see them have a pretty good game this week against Purdue as well.
Talk about a potentially pretty good game out there. It's Clemson, NC State. what has been your thought on Clemson to this point and how DJ has played, but at the same time, Leary and NC State and what they can bring to the table?
Yeah, I think it's going to be a great game. I do think Clemson playing with revenge at home is a big asset. We wonder about the weather's going to be like since it's in South Carolina. And, you know, if it's really bad weather, that would probably mean a lower scoring game, which you would expect anyway because you've got two quality defenses. Now, with NC State, you know, that opener against East Carolina missed the game-tying extra point. They got the ball back, and they missed the game-winning field goal. Texas Tech actually outgained them 353-270. And other than that, they've beaten Charleston Southern and Connecticut. So I'd like to see the real NC State show up. I haven't seen them yet this year, but they've got the potential. They've got one of the better units on defense with returning players, and they've got Devin Leary, a quarterback. Now, with Clemson, that is the difference. DJ Uiagalelei is a guy that last year had a 9-10 ratio, 9 touchdowns, 10 interceptions. This year, 10 touchdowns, 1 interception. And Will Shipley's running the ball hard. I was surprised Clemson's defensive backs gave up a lot last week. They gave up not only 337 yards, they gave up like 6 pass interference calls on top of that. So you're looking at well over 400 yards passing by Wake Forest, but Wake has a pretty potent offense. I think it's going to be a slobber knocker, tight defensive game, but I like Clemson to win this one by a touchdown at home and get the revenge and stay at the top of the ACC.
Yeah, it's not just the yards, as you point out correctly, Phil. 6 PIs tells me you're being beaten a lot. And that had to be a surprise to the Clemson coordinators because of how that played out. Georgia, I do want to bring them up because obviously, you know, they've rolled to this point. I was talking to James Franklin about this, and I said, watching Oregon win the way they did over BYU in a lot of ways tells me how good Georgia is because that game wasn't competitive. What's your thought on Georgia?
Yeah, Georgia's been very impressive. Now, I do want to point out, in the Oregon game, Oregon had 14 first downs in the first half, which surprised me that they could move the ball that well on Georgia, and then the second half just turned into a snowball game. The South Carolina game was very impressive. I think you're going to see them blow out Missouri this week as well. They're better on the road than they are at home, actually, because they travel less players and could play less players, and they seem to be more motivated on the road. But I've been impressed with the defense as much as they lost from last year. I still don't think they're last year's defense.
No.
They're close to last year's defense, but they're not there. I do like the way Stetson Bennett's throwing a football when he has to. He's only got 5 touchdown passes. So I would put them as a legitimate national title contender, and they've been a little bit more impressive than I thought they would be heading into the year.
And what do you think of Brock Bowers?
You know, I'm on the Mackey Award list, so we're definitely putting him at the top of the list on a weekly basis. And I love the fact that the way they've incorporated him in the run game now, letting him run the football like he has a couple of times. He is just an all-around star tight end.
I could do this for 2 or 3 hours. So, but, Phil, I do have to let you go. And mind if we check back in next month?
Oh, that sounds great. I always enjoy our conversation, Steve. And, you know, you're definitely one of the best play-by-play guys out there.
Oh, Phil, that means a lot to me very much. Thank you so much, my good friend. Great work as always, and appreciate any minute we get to spend with you.
All right, a lot of fun as always, Steve. Have fun this weekend.
Thanks, Phil.
The outstanding Phil Steele. We will come back with more in a moment, brought to you by Brewers Outlet here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. I apologize to you, Matt, for the last segment. We were talking legitimate college football, and you thrive on controversy. There was none there.
Nah, hey, I love what Phil Steele had to say. I'm very encouraged about Penn State.
But there was no controversy there. Like that's your whole bag.
It's all right. I was intrigued by what he had to say about Penn State. That was my takeaway.
Okay, I just, you know, just sometimes I get a little worried about you. You'd rather have the dirt and mud slung. Well,
the Kings coming up next, so we'll get back to that. What do you think?
Probably.
Boy, if Aaron Judge hits one tonight, he'll be within 11.
Correct.
Oh, my almighty!
Nothing against by whatever that Twitter handle name was.
Yeah, I don't know what I don't know what that was. I don't know what the it was embedded in the story. So I I didn't have to click on it because it was sitting there. The tweet is there as part of the story. And I thought, that's actually pretty funny.
Was well played. I'll give him that.
Well, look, maybe get to 62 tonight, and then it can just go away for a while. You know? Then you get the playoffs, and then the only thing you care about, like even if the Yankees lose, it's all about re-signing them.
It's especially so if they lose.
What if they win, it's okay, he goes?
No, they still need to re-sign them.
All rise.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
A great story, by the way, about Joel Embiid. Originally born in Cameroon, moved to the United States at the age of 16. Went to Monteverde Academy, transferred after his first year to the Rock School, which is a Christian academy in Gainesville, and goes to Kansas, now with the Sixers. Was justifiably the runner-up in the MVP, Nikola Jokic, clearly the better player, a lot like Shohei Ohtani. No reaction. I thought you'd at least do a slow burn. But Joel Embiid became an American citizen yesterday. He went through the entire process, and Joel Embiid became an American citizen yesterday. He says, I've been here a long time. My son is American. I feel like I'm living here, and it's a blessing to be an American. So I said, why not? Good for you, Joel Embiid. All right. I didn't even get a rise or a reaction out of you. I got no rise or reaction out of you. None. Zero.
I was getting the King on the line. But, yeah, I know. It's an awesome story for Joel Embiid.
No. The part where I said where Nikola Jokic is clearly just like Shohei Ohtani, the better player.
Ah. Well, in that case.
Hey, on the deck, call the janitor.
You had no rise. I was just trying to just a little. Just put the knife in a little, just turn it a quarter. Okay, into the back. All right. So, today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket, Imports, Domestics, Microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere, wine coolers, water, soft drink, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. 6 great flavors of slushies in the pickle bar, led by the barrels and the dills. Indeed, second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket. And I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. I do admit, as we bring the King in, that I'm on FaceTime at the moment with Junie Hoban Jones. So I, along with Dan. And she's waving and laughing at all the stuff that we're doing here.
Hi, Junie.
So, good news. Aaron Judge is now within 12 of the home run record. You guys can now take over.
Oh, my almighty!
Time now for lots of love. Here comes the outpouring of, he is the greatest thing since sliced bread. Go for it.
Hello?
Oh, King. You're loving Aaron Judge, aren't you?
Picture, I'm sure you've seen it. A picture of Barry Bonds when he came in the league and Barry Bonds when he left the league. His head was twice the size it was before.
His whole body.
He's so juiced up. Come on. You know. At least Judge is clean, but I mean, a record's a record, but they're not in the Hall of Fame, that's for sure.
Well, you know, he's, was he 500 home runs behind Pujols? I'm just kidding. I'm joking. This is one of the greatest seasons we've ever seen. He's clearly the unanimous MVP. I've said that. It doesn't mean I can't have some entertaining fun with it.
And who's second in home runs? And the guy from the Phillies?
No. You mean in the American League? It's the kid from the Astros. He's got 37. He is 25 behind him.
Yeah. That's just unbelievable. This is a year with a quote heavy ball, you know. Yeah.
Although I think Alonso has as many RBIs as he does. I think they're the same, right?
Yes, I think that sounds about right. And Kyle Schwarber, who King was talking about for the Phils.
But I'm saying in the American League, it's like a 25 home run difference.
Yeah.
Leads National League?
Schwarber, right? Schwarber?
Yeah, Schwarber.
He's from the Phillies, right? Yeah, in the Phillies won today, and that's the first time in a month, right?
Get the lingerie on the deck. Call the janitor.
They're a half game up in the. They're now a full game up on Milwaukee in the wild card race, and they've got the Nationals again tonight. I mean, just when you need to break a slump, the Nationals show up.
Gotta love it.
Who's gonna win it? Who's the best team? Dodgers, Houston.
They're probably the two best of the Dodgers and Houston, in terms of overall depth. I think the Braves are interesting, and obviously the Mets and the Yankees are. But the Braves are interesting.
Mets are a good team.
But the Braves were 23-27 through 50 games. Now look at them. Now they're going into this three-game series.
Didn't they?
Yeah. Yeah. And they've got Acuña back.
But the Mets are a good baseball team and they got the pitching. So
well, DeGrom and Scherzer. But the Mets need to win the division. They can ill afford to play a three-game series where they've got to use DeGrom and Scherzer. They need to skip that series.
Right.
Right, they need to skip now. DeGrom and Scherzer become big factors if they can win the division. That's a huge part of this. The Yankees don't have that problem. They're going to skip it anyway. And then Cole's got like the daunting task of actually having to face a team over 500. And that's just not. I mean, that's not a good recipe for him.
Yeah.
I mean, how'd the Red Sox do this year?
Oh my goodness, they were awful, and you know that. I mean, when the Red Sox went 20-6 in June, what did I say? I said I actually don't know how good this team really is.
Yes,
I've always been fair about where they are. I mean, it's like I didn't really think they were that good to begin with. And then they had a hot streak in June. I was like, I don't know. Let's see what July is like. And then July ended up being a disaster. Yankees were good for 5 out of 6 months. In August they were terrible. The other 5 months they were outstanding. Yeah. And you're allowed to have a bad month.
Oh, I mean, sure.
Season this long.
If you have a problem, you've got an insurance policy.
Season this long, you are entitled to a bad month. And that was the deal with the Yankees. August, I mean, they were bad. September they bounced back nicely. And they've got Giancarlo Stanton, so in the first three innings of a game, they've got some power.
Except against the Pirates, he hit one in the sixth.
Yeah, but I think it was off a position player, wasn't it?
It was the first time around, but the second time around in Yankee Stadium, it was against the normal pitcher. We're making progress.
He's going to Reggie Jackson it. He's going to be our new Mr. October.
Giancarlo Stanton.
Man, when he hits a home run, holy cow, get out of the way.
Yeah, that's a big if, though, during the postseason.
Did you see that guy miss Judge's home run? He threw his glove up in the air.
I know.
Hysterical.
Not only did he lose money, he lost his glove.
But this tells you what kind of hitter Albert Pujols is. Albert Pujols, okay, and Giancarlo Stanton. Stanton's played 13 seasons. He has struck out 95 times or better 11 of the 13 years. Albert Pujols has played 22 seasons. He has never struck out 95 times in a season. What does it tell you about?
He's just a good guy.
That's a commentary on Pujols. The World Series game I went to at Fenway, and the Red Sox won the game 6-2, and the Cardinals had four hits. Pujols had three of them. Like, jeez.
Yeah.
Did I ever tell you that story, Matt?
Of when he went to the World Series game?
Yeah. I'm sitting in my lazy boy. I'm living in an apartment in East Windsor, Connecticut, and I'm recently divorced, you know, so I'm sitting by myself. And he calls me up. He says, "So, you watching the World Series?" I said, "Yeah, I've got it on." He goes, "Can you see Pesky Pole?" I said, "Well, not yet." "Okay, I see Pesky Pole." That's him. I'm like, "You got to be kidding me. How did you get seats at the World Series at Pesky Pole?"
Oh,
and I'm sitting in East Windsor, Connecticut.
For free.
By myself.
Oh, man, that
feeling
hurts.
Feeling sorry for myself.
Oh.
And
you're watching the Red Sox in the World Series, too, after that.
And I made it worse. So.
Yeah, the tickets were free.
And I didn't know I made it worse, just so you know. I did not know I made it worse. So, all right, we're going to pick some games, okay? We're going to take a break. We'll come back. More in a moment. Brought to you by Brewers Outlet on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Open 7 till 4, Monday through Friday. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. Will Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
All right, time for picks.
All right, here we go. Well, last week, Steve and I had about as good a week as Giancarlo Stanton's been at the plate for the Yankees at 3-7. And the King.
Oh, my goodness. What a bye bye, Judy.
And the King went 5-5. So he won last week. So there we go.
Way to go, King.
There we go.
Getting it done.
All right, here we go. Now we got to start off this week, we got Michigan at Iowa. I think we're all taking Michigan here, considering how terrible Iowa's been this year. But, Steve, I'll check with you anyway.
Well, this is going to be interesting because it comes to the point I brought up about Phil Steele. This is going to tell us a lot about how powerful the Michigan offense is. Michigan will win the game, but can they generate points against that Iowa offense? And if they do, that's going to be impressive. Iowa's defense is really, really good. Iowa's offense couldn't beat the Little Sisters of the Poor.
There you go. I got Michigan outright. King.
Well, because he said all that, I'll take Michigan.
There you go. All right. Now, this should be a good game. You talked about this a little while ago with Phil, Steve, and that was Clemson and NC State. King.
Yeah.
NC State.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a really good pick. I was tempted to go that way. It's just there's something about teams have to prove to me they can get over the top. So I'm going to take Clemson because I still think they're a little bit better. Even though I think the quarterback is better for NC State, Leary, I'm going to take Clemson because of their defense.
I'm going to take Clemson as well. I just think that, but also, too, I just think that they got a little bit more on offense to make a play late if needed because we don't know what the weather's going to be like down there. So I'm going to lean Clemson in a close game.
Right.
All right, next one we got Kentucky at Ole Miss in a key one in the SEC. Steve.
Kentucky's at Ole Miss?
Yes.
I'm going to take Ole Miss. I'm going to go with Jackson Dart. You know, and look, let's be honest. You know how much I like Will, right? I mean, I think the world of Will Levis. But I'm going to go in this one with Ole Miss.
Yeah, I got Ole Miss, too. I know Kentucky's getting their running back this week, too, but I just...
That helps.
I think that does help, but I think Ole Miss is... I like Ole Miss at home for the upset this week. King.
Kentucky.
All right.
Good pick. I mean, no, they're good. Will's got 1,185 yards passing. He's got 10 touchdowns, 4 picks. Now, they've played a lousy schedule except for the Florida game. But Miami of Ohio, Youngstown, and Northern Illinois, not exactly inspiring.
Jimmy G, Northern Illinois.
Yes, yeah, no, that's Southern Illinois. That's Southern Illinois.
That's right, yeah.
Oh, okay.
No, we're both wrong. Well. It's Eastern Illinois.
Ah.
Eastern Illinois with Tony Romo and Jimmy G.
There you go. Okay. One of those Illinois schools. All right, next
one. Some directional Illinois school.
Exactly.
Whatever.
Yes. Oklahoma State at Baylor. King.
Baylor.
All right. Steve.
Baylor.
Ooh, okay. I'm sticking with Oklahoma State in this one. Close game. All right, then finally, we got two more. Next one is Wake Forest at Florida State. Steve.
Hey, yeah, yeah, Wake Forest, Florida State. Really good game. I'll roll it. I'll go with Florida State, even though I know Hartman's back and playing well. I'll go Florida State.
All right. I like it. I'm going with Wake Forest, though. I just think their offense is too much. King.
I like Wake Forest.
All right.
Just remember, Wake Forest can't stop Shikellamy.
Also true.
I have no idea. I like the name.
All right, then finally, this is just anything with Georgia Tech's embarrassing, but Pitt at Georgia Tech. I got Pitt in a debacle. Steve?
Pitt.
And King.
I got Pitt, but I took the game because Georgia Tech's got like 9 votes to be in the top 25. And
no, they don't.
Only number 24.
Georgia Tech just fired their coach.
Yeah.
Georgia Tech just fired their coach.
Yeah.
Look, Pitt's going to win this. Pitt's going to win this game like 42-10. I mean, it's not even going to be.
Yeah. No. I think you were probably thinking of Georgia. And Georgia is number one, but whatever.
No, I'm not thinking of Georgia. I'm saying they got 7 or 9 votes to be in the top 25. They're just below the top 25 level right now.
No. Wait, Georgia Tech? They're 1-3.
Look it up.
They're 1-3. They're averaging 13.8 points a game.
Well, you said they're going to win by 40 points. Let's see it.
They're a mess. I mean, they fired the athletic director.
Why did they get 7 votes to be in the top 25?
Are you sure that I don't?
We'll have to triple check that.
No bets. We don't bet. I bet you a pickle. The next time I go there, I want a pickle. That they got 7 votes to be in the top 25.
No, that's Oregon State you're thinking of.
No, well, I couldn't read. It said G-A-T-E-C-H, Georgia Tech. So I picked a game. I wanted to get another game.
Huh?
Hey, others Penn State wasn't votes. In the top 25 at the start of the year. Now they're 11. So
Kansas, Cincinnati, Florida,
in fact,
Washington.
I might just take Georgia Tech. No way.
Washington State, Syracuse,
you
Oregon State, Texas Tech.
You guys know way more about it than I do. I'm going Pitt. So we're Pitt across the line.
Yeah, and I mean, to be honest, whatever you read is not right because Georgia Tech is not ranked by anybody. At the beginning of the season, maybe in the preseason, they got votes. Then Clemson beat them.
I went to the top 25 today. You know when they list below the top 25 teams that got votes?
I've got it.
Georgia Tech is one of them.
It may be Texas Tech.
Yeah. We'll check on it. We'll have to check on that. We got to move on.
Here are the others receiving votes.
You're making Kansas, me giggle like a girl.
Okay. Kansas, Cincinnati, Florida, Washington State, Syracuse, Oregon State, Texas Tech, North Carolina, LSU, James Madison, Tulane, UCLA, TCU. On the coaches poll, Cincinnati, Kansas, Florida, Texas Tech, Kansas State, Texas, TCU, Michigan State, James Madison, Mississippi State, Air Force, Oregon State, UCLA, Washington State, LSU, Notre Dame, Iowa State, Maryland, and Coastal Carolina.
Oh. Oh, well, we got an easy game.
There you go.
Perfect.
Okay. It's Georgia Tech for you in a nutshell.
Texas Tech. I don't know. Maybe I had too many Red Bulls. So.
Actually, before we move on to the NFL, King, real quick, Penn State, Northwestern. You like Penn State?
Let's see. Heeny, meeny, miny, moe. Penn State. This is a really good Penn State team. I have not seen a team like this at State College in quite a while. Where I said a couple weeks ago, they get better every week. And they've got the strong defense, and they got the good, strong running game. That's Penn State football.
I got Penn State in a big way this week, too. All right, NFL now.
I think Penn State's going to give everybody a really tough go.
Yes, so. I agree. All right, Monday Night Football, Rams at the Niners. Steve?
I'm going to go with the Rams.
I got the Rams as well. King?
Rams.
Clean sweep of the Rams. Next one. This should be an interesting game this week. Buffalo at Baltimore. King.
Baltimore's tough.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm going to take...
Put me down for the Bills.
Defense isn't that good. I'm going to go Buffalo.
All right. I got the Bills. Yeah. I there's some things I like about the Ravens, but I'm still not a firm believer in them. So I'm going Buffalo. And then Sunday night, of course, it will be in Tampa. Chiefs and the Bucks. King?
Not impressed by Tampa at all last week, but I'm going to go with Tampa.
Right. I'm going with the Brett Veaches. I think Tampa has got some issues there offensively right now. Steve.
Kansas City. A good game tonight, by the way, but it's late at 10:30. Washington's at UCLA tonight.
Right.
They're both 4-0.
That's a good game?
Yeah, that's a really good game tonight.
All right.
UCLA's good, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're 4-0. They're 4-0, so's Washington. So that should be a good game, but it's late. It's 10:30, though.
Right. And then finally, we have squeezed in Doug P. Returning to Philly. I got the Eagles in a close game, Steve.
Eagles, 2 touchdowns.
And King.
I love the Eagles. Eagles.
There you go.
I'll say this. Lawrence is playing really well.
He is.
Yeah. I mean, Lawrence is playing. Let's give Trevor Lawrence a lot of credit. He's playing really well, and they seem to know how to use him.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.